It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Well, if you won't say it, I will. Congratulations to us. The Sabres are going to be back. I like how you said it earlier that you feel good for Paul and Brian.
And Brian, mostly. Yeah.
Finally, they had a good season.
Yeah. I mean, I feel good for everyone. I feel good for us. I mean, I'm glad. I was not happy that the Bills left, frankly. I mean, I don't know why you would be working in a job like this. So I'm glad that they're staying. But to me, not that Paul's job. I mean, maybe you can tell us. Paul's on the Western Hotline with us. Like, how much would your job have changed if we weren't carrying the games? I mean, you'd still be covering the team. We'd still be talking to you. I don't know what sort of pregame stuff we would have been doing. Maybe none. But still, you know, it's nice to have them back home where they belong, I think.
Yeah, it is. We would have still had a pregame show and a postgame show, and I just wouldn't have been grabbing somebody at the end of the first period for a walk-off interview.
Right.
And talking to Brian in the intermission, that's about really all that would have changed. But we would have still been at the games. We still would have had a pregame and a postgame, and you know, similar to what we're going to be doing with football. So it would have changed a little bit, but I basically would have been doing a lot of the same things.
I'm just glad that we don't have to resort to calling them Buffalo Hockey all the time. You know, we can use the name. We can actually use the name of the team. That seems good. We talked to Lindy Ruff earlier today, Paul. That was nice. He said to say hi, and he hopes he would have had we brought it up. I'm sure he would have done that.
Oh, I thought you said he did say this.
I did. I was just trying to get somewhere else, but no, I did say that, and I'm sure he would have. We asked him about expectations like this year versus last year at this time, because I think, you know, a lot of us on the outside didn't expect anything like what happened last season, and that might speak for you as well.
Oh, especially the way it started. You know, if you did have any thought process of it, it kind of, at least in my mind, eliminated in your mind watching the way things got rolling. It just was same old, same old. And then all of a sudden it wasn't. I mean, they couldn't win three in a row. You know, they couldn't do anything. It just wasn't going well for them. And then December, 9th, I believe, hit. And it was like, wow, they won 10 in a row. And look at this. And they're doing things the franchise has never done before. Even when guys like Perreault were in the lineup, or guys like Brière and Drury were in the lineup, or guys like Hasek were in the lineup, they were pulling off things they'd never done before, and it just seemed to really come out of nowhere, and it was like, okay, they finally decided to kind of get together, sit down. It was, I believe, in Calgary, if I'm not mistaken. And, the Rasmus Dahlin, brought in the veterans, and they talked and they got together. And they're all of a sudden, they put their minds to it and changed everything.
You know, thinking about that, Paul, and how incredible it was, like sort of playing it forward, how I don't know. We got a while to still sort this all out. I mean, the games don't start we're less than a month away from the regular season opener, right? October 1st. So as it's coming, I'm sort of bracing for a lot of, well, we got to remember that it wasn't easy. Like, sort of, like, because to me, the thing that really changed was their buy-in at both ends of the ice, just how much they dug in. I think, you know, there's a lot that goes into being a good hockey team, but as far as defending goes, I feel like, yes, you need to know your system and your responsibilities and where you got to be and all of that. But I feel like largely that is, do I want to dig in hard enough to skate as hard as I can or reasonably hard to make it difficult for my opponent? And I thought they aced that last year. Like, they finally got there. I think the best teams in the league have to play that way. Yes, there's the talent and the skill and the goalie and everything else, but just being hell to play against because you don't give up on plays. And I don't know. I feel like they're going to be – they're most definitely going to be younger. And I wonder about everyone's level of buy-in being where it needs to be, you know, when we get going again.
Well, that was one thing, if you recall, Lindy Ruff said when he showed up. You know, he talked about, you know, we have to be better defending. We can't be giving up the goals against that we gave up. And nothing really changed the first year, mm-hmm. you know, and because the goals against didn't really change. I mean, they weren't all out, you know, selling out with how they were going to play defense and that type of thing. And that really, I think, is what changed. I think the goaltending did get better. You know, I think they were starting last year to get the big save at the big time. If you don't get that, it doesn't matter how. But I think one of the reasons the goal got better, it was hand in hand, is they weren't facing 2-on-0s, 3-on-1s, 4-on-1s, on a very rare occasion, a 3-on-0. They weren't turning the puck over all over the place because nothing takes you out of your system quicker than turning the puck over because now it's a schmozzel coming back. But you're not in your system. You were in an attack mode. All of a sudden, there's a turnover. Now you're all out of position, and next thing you know, your goaltender is facing something that you don't need your goaltender to be facing. And I think the way they took care of the puck was much, much better, and it didn't put their goaltending in bad spots. Or if they, sure they did at times, but not the way they used to. I mean, it was just, it didn't matter who the coach was. It just seemed like they didn't much care about defense. They didn't much care about the puck and handling the puck and what to do with the puck and what to do when you don't have the puck. And what are you going to do to help get the puck back? It just didn't seem like they were all that dedicated to it. But once they got dedicated to it, now all of a sudden those great chances were starting to really get fewer and fewer and fewer. And now your goaltender looks much better because they're not facing those things. And your team looks much better because now instead of defending – and defending, something that all of a sudden you don't think you're going to have to defend, you're on offense. You're in the offensive zone. You're in quick transition going up ice. You're not putting the other team in transition coming back at you. I think that was one of the biggest things as they finally started listening to Lindy Ruff. And instead of doing it their way, decided, you know what? Maybe we should try it Lindy Ruff's way because it just didn't seem like Lindy Ruff was getting through to him. I mean, the first year, he definitely wasn't. And then the second year starts, and he is like, well, here it is again. They're one of the worst teams, and it's not going well after the first 2 months of the season. And then they decided – it just seemed like when they all got together, it's like – let's try Lindy Ruff's system. Let's see if maybe what he's talking about works for us. And I think they found out it works very well for them.
I also recall two off seasons ago, Ruff at a event at the arena with fans where they could ask him questions, basically saying, when you play the way the Sabres did, paraphrasing, when you play the way the Sabres did, you're going to get figured out. Like eventually teams are going to figure you out. So you have to be able to have that foundation. So having said all of that and, appreciating the monumental step forward that they made as a team last year, is it sticky? I mean, would you assume, Paul, that when this season starts with mostly the same roster, that they would all know the drill?
Well, one thing they all have to understand is they're just not going to pick up right where they left off. That's not the way hockey happens. We all knew when last season, as good as last season was, the same group that ended the season were not going to show up this year to start the season. We all know that. It never does. And sure enough, you know, Alex Tuck isn't here. Bo Byram isn't here for different reasons. So a lot of the same guys are still around, sure. But, you know, some key guys aren't in the lineup anymore. So they have to understand that you're starting from ground zero. They also have to understand, I think they understand this part of it, because before the season ended, I don't think teams were taking the Buffalo Sabres lightly anymore. I think they realized, this is a totally different operation here than where we're used to playing here. It's no longer a cakewalk walking into this arena, and we can just basically laugh at these guys and come out with 2 points, hardly put forth an effort, and still come out with 2 points. We know they're not going to touch us, so we'll, you know, we won't get bruised up or tired or anything. You know, right. Everything will just be
nice, easy night.
Yeah, nice, easy night. Here we go. I think teams realized that was over with. The team that really seemed to get behind in that and not maybe didn't realize it till the end was Tampa Bay, and then they finally figured it out. You know, when the Sabres basically outgritted them. In you know, the way they played, and I think they had to begrudgingly agree that, hey, the Buffalo Sabres are here and they're not going to get pushed around, and they're using their talent to their fullest, and guys like Owen Power have improved greatly, guys like Samuelson have improved greatly, and even Byram, you know, as the team didn't play well, neither did he in the beginning of the year. It's like, I remember a couple times, I think I said on your show, what is wrong with him? He just doesn't seem to be with it at all. And, you know, that's one of the things. All of a sudden, he was with it and played really well. And all of a sudden, Owen Power, you know, was having good games for the most part instead of really, you know, struggling to get going. And he just kept getting better and better as the season went on. And all of a sudden, they had what Jarmo Kekalainen called maybe the best four defensemen in the NHL together. And, you know, sure, that's debatable. Mm-hmm. But
it's not crazy.
There's no question it was absolutely the strength. And Lindy even said it with us 2 hours ago that he thought, I don't know if he said the strength of the team, but I think he did use that phrasing. Like, you know,
no question.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I started calling it their superpower. Like, once they blasted off, it was just, that was what they were. Those four dudes, primarily, just sort of running the offense, and it really, really made a big difference.
Sure. But and the thing is, too, if you ask me right now, who would you hang up the phone if somebody called about, you know, if you were the GM? And right there, Dahlin, Samuelson, Power. Sorry, we're not even having the conversation. I would have a conversation about everybody else. I would not, like, I'm not looking.
I'm not eager. Yeah, sure.
Tyche Thompson, right, or Helenius or those guys. But I would at least listen to the conversation. You know, tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you're talking about. I would hang up. I would just say stop. I don't need to know what you would give me for Rasmus Dahlin or for Samuelson or Power. These are our building blocks. This is the core, and these guys aren't moving. Now, there are other guys I'm probably not moving, but those three are, we're not even having the conversation.
Yeah, but what if it's Cale Makar, Paul? What if they want to get, I'm sorry, Paul Hamilton.
What a move to sign him to the richest contract ever and then flip him.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline with us here on WGR. You mentioned, like, you know, hanging up the phone, trade. And, you know, we know, I don't know how active anything is or isn't between Buffalo and any team out there, but Winnipeg is the one that, you know, keeps coming up because of Hellebuck last week going public with the trade demand. And so, you know, we'll wait and see. Do you feel like, I know we talk like this, you know, and there's probably a lot of drama that's going on with these guys and what they're hearing, what their agents might be telling them, or friends and family even, at different times of the year. But certainly running up to trade deadline, we talk about, and the guys get asked about it every year, like, how much of a distraction is it? Are you trying, you know, is it hard to focus, whatever, when you're hearing your name out there and all this stuff. I wonder, with the Hellebuck thing still hovering out there and the Sabres at least being mentioned by the outside world, like media and fans, if there's, I don't know, I never got around to asking Lindy this, like whether they need to like massage some egos here, because I mean, there are names that are being talked about, again, not by, maybe not even by the teams, all right, but still, like, guys can hear that chatter, and it could be maybe unsettling. Like, is Jack Quinn walking around wondering, like, oh, my God, am I getting traded to Winnipeg tomorrow? I wonder about that for this time of the year, because it's a very odd time to have that particular challenge.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, there we don't know, and there's been really no reporting. You know, who are the five teams that Luukkonen has decided that he would not allow himself to be traded to? Mm-hmm. Is Winnipeg one of them? Oh, there, you could assume that it might be.
And right, but all you can do is assume. Yeah, right.
And if it is, well, that might shoot it right there. You know, if he's not willing to waive his no trade to you know, because you would think he would have to be part of a deal like that. And who knows? I mean, Jarmo Kekalainen's had some time to think about it, and he might have cooled off about it too. You know, he might over the, you know, the talk to his staff and you know, said, you know, why, if we were going to do this, we needed to do it earlier. You know, we didn't. The price hasn't come down. Now, you would think the price is going to come down now that you know, Hellebuck, he hasn't done the Jets any favors, but I think he looked at it. Look at, guys, I gave you all this time. I gave you a lot of time here to do this, and you didn't. So now I'm going to really press it, and I'm going to make you do it. And, you know, it's the price you would think would have to come down to in order to be able to move him. But it's not like the Sabres. I mean, that's a question, too. To maybe build on what you were talking about earlier. Can your three goaltenders perform like they did last year? I mean, can Luukkonen have better numbers than Hellebuck? You know, can they have the third best save percentage in the NHL? Who knows? I mean, who knows if they can hold up as well as they did last year and play as well as they did to be able to go on that streak and help the, you know, the Sabres win and it didn't seem to matter who was in net. I mean, Ellis could go a month, and next thing you know, be in goal, and all of a sudden win a hockey game for you. You know, and this is a rookie in the NHL that was pulling that off. It's not easy to do, not play for a month, and then all of a sudden get a game and say, all right, hey, you know, and be able to do that. So, you know, that's a question mark too. Can they play as well as they did last year?
Paul, so the prospects are on the ice a week from Sunday. Is that the first anything?
Yeah, and then training camp will be, you know, they'll play games on Sunday and Monday. Usually they get in and for a couple of practices, so I'm guessing, probably Thursday-ish they will hit the ice, at least hit the ice for where we can come and chat with them. And, so they'll get a couple of practices in. And then, training camp usually starts pretty much right after that.
So
as a matter of fact, I'm actually looking. I was Friday. I was right. Friday is the first practice with the prospects, Friday and Saturday. And then the first practice for training camp is Thursday the 17th.
2 weeks from today. Very good. Thank you, Paul.
All right. Take care.
There you go. That is our man, Paul Hamilton, on the Westher Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this.
I'll say this about the Hellebuck idea as it continues to linger. I think with some trades, you don't really have any particular pressure to do them before the season starts. You know, you've talked to a team. You like a player of theirs. They like a player of yours. Let's see where we're at in a month or 2 months or at the deadline, whatever. I don't know if Hellebuck is that, though, because if he refuses to show up for their training camp, which I would expect if he's not traded first, I would expect that he'd, listen, now you're making a public statement. You can't just walk in the door and take pucks.
Right.
So if that happens, or if that's expected, then it's nice to think the Sabres might have leverage with a team that feels pressure to trade a player, but that doesn't have to benefit the Sabres. That just would benefit whatever team there is a trade with. So I think it's different than a guy that, well, you just, you know, maybe he's disgruntled, but we'll see. Maybe we have a good season and he feels better. I don't know if Hellebuck even shows up for their stuff. And maybe then they feel some pressure, a deadline to trade him before it gets to that point to anybody.
Right. We're going to go into a season without him and without the guys we could have gotten in the return in a trade for him. And like, what are we doing here?
So that's where the Sabres might, you might say they have leverage with the Jets, but they might not have leverage with New Jersey or Colorado or some other team that's in the room with Winnipeg, because there should be more than one for this player.
Yes, there should. And Colorado isn't, like, you know, when he went public with that, that was last Thursday. By Friday morning, you know, a lot of hockey media had sort of taken their turns. I know Joe Yurden at Bleacher Report wrote a piece like, here's, you know, here they're not all, maybe none of them are bulletproof ideas, but like, try this, Vegas, because why? Because Vegas does everything. They find a way to do. They find a way to just do everything. Colorado, I mean, do they think their goaltending let them down? You know, they mostly used Blackwood, but in the playoffs, when they ultimately lost, they did pivot to Wedgwood and then right back to Blackwood. He's making $5.5 million himself, Blackwood. That's, you know. The cap with Colorado, how could they do it? Well, I mean, divest themselves of, you know, send Blackwood over in the trade and some other guy, and you're there. Like, you've made it. So I don't think that they're a team that I would just ignore for this. You know, and then you New Jersey is certainly in the mix, too. And I would think there's some competition out there. I don't think it's just the Sabres, you know, are the only phone number the Winnipeg Jets have. To try to make this happen.
I mean, we got to give them that much credit.
But you got to have, really, from the Sabres' perspective, or any of these other teams that might, you know, might be kicking tires or even more than that on this idea. I do think it takes a lot to make a trade at this time. Like, it's so close to camp. That's why I asked Paul about, like, managing and massaging, you know, players' egos. Like, if someone's, you know, pouting, they don't mean to be, but they're just worried, you know, maybe needlessly, but, like, I don't know. Do players walk into Yarmouth? Hey, am I getting traded? Like, what's going on here? Because this is just hovering. And some teams, I think you just sort of, you either said this or intimated it. Some teams might just go, yeah, no, I'm done. It's too late. My team's on the floor. I've got, you know, my goaltending was good last year, if you're the Sabres. I'm like, you know what? We're just going to, no. The time for that was when we could fill in the rest of our roster to replace the guys that we were going to give up with the guys we wanted, and we can't do that now because everybody's mostly spoken for. It might be too cumbersome to try to pull off now. Like, you've got guys you could trade, but do you have guys, if you're trading four pieces and two of them are NHL players from your roster, is Noah Ostlund taking one of those spots? That's it? Or, you know, Helen, you, like, what is that, just more of the kids? Because I think they wanted to acquire Vincent Trocheck to replace someone they were going to trade in this trade that never happened. And now you can't do that. So you might feel like standing pat is the better alternative now.
Did Lindy not tell us today that most of the guys are around already? Did he say that? I mean, if that's true, I mean, even if it's not most, but...
Yeah. It's not uncommon especially, for guys at this time of the year to be in the town they play in and skating.
Yeah.
Informally.
Especially, you know, now that it's into September.
Right.
And you might have wanted to, for the player's sake, sort of make whatever move you're going to make
right
before now.
Yep.
Your buddy Robert Thomas is now the captain of the Blues.
That's dead. I will always have that Robert Thomas day. You weren't here. Much like I had a Hellebuck day last Thursday when you were off. The Robert Thomas thing was like, I got a whole show out of talking about Robert Thomas. And you can never take that away from me. No. It turned into be pointless, but, you know, whatever.
It happens to be, and I'm not going to tell you I'm not a little bit upset about this or taking it personally. It happens to be the episode of this show that was submitted for the Emmy considerations.
Oh, wow.
It was the one where you talked about Robert Thomas the whole day.
I'm so
That's
proud.
The one that might actually win us something. Finally. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. Important stuff ahead, such as what the Packers will be wearing for their game against the Bills in December. Oof. That information has now been made public. This is WGR.
And the way the fans responded last year was just incredible. I mean, those environments during the playoffs were exceptional. And then it's carried over. You know, the season ticket sales just exploded. Blown away any team in the National Hockey League for new season ticket holders. We're at 14,000 now. And, you know, honestly, we cut it off there because we want people to have access to the building. And we may have lost a generation of fans in there, or at least not having paying attention as much. They still need to get in that building. So whether it's individual games or groups, we want to make sure there's a rotation of people coming through there. So we decided that's where we wanted to cut it off and start the waiting list.
Pete Guelli. Top man, Sabres and Bills. In studio today, when I saw a picture of Pete with Jeremy, I thought maybe I should dress up a little bit, thinking that maybe Lindy was going to come in for our turn when it came to promoting the new arrangement with the Sabres. But Lindy did not come in. He called in. And he, if you missed it, this is big. Denied any involvement in the long-standing theory that he and Darcy would give out each other's phone numbers to make as a prank to people. He denied any knowledge of that, which I don't care really. I'm still going to ride that. I think maybe that happened.
Without
his consent.
It's possible that he didn't know about it.
Yeah.
It's also possible he's just a game player. It's
Definitely.
Also possible he just doesn't remember. I mean, it's a very long time ago.
I have played a prank. I have played a prank with him. You know this one?
I'll bet when you get halfway through it, I'll remember it.
It wasn't much.
A dinner, you got one of the wine events.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the wine when they had that annual alumni wine event. They had it in the atrium, in the arena. And that's when, like, 06, 07, you know, the height of his powers, the Sabres' powers.
Yeah, heady times, yeah.
Yeah, and I played a prank on my friend Cynthia. And it was that I went up to Lindy and, like, it was half-baked. But are you willing to come up to our table with me and just sort of make fun of what she's wearing? And he did. And, like, she was excited to meet him for the first time. And he's like, why would you wear that, though, to this? Imagine saying that to a woman you've never met as the coach of the Sabres. And he did it. He did it. And then I just sort of, like, I can't be a part of this anymore.
You know, I'm sorry, everyone.
We're just kidding. And that's the night. I mean, I'm talking like we're close friends or something, which we're not. I mean, I've had a dozen encounters with Lindy Ruff, you know, at the most, socially. But that was the night that we were talking at the bar they had set up there, and I was asking him what he likes to drink. This is 20 years ago-ish. You know, what do you like to drink? And he answered, and he said, what about you? And I'm like, I'll drink anything. You know, it's all the same to me. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned Sambuca. They had Sambuca at that bar.
I remember Sambuca and Lindy
said,
being a thing with you.
If we win, if or when, I'm not sure if he said if or when, that's not germane. If we win the Stanley Cup, I'll drink Sambuca with you.
Okay, right.
And so when he came back here a couple of years ago, I reminded him. And I was not every day, but that would sort of flash into my memory this year, you know, in the spring. Like, if they win, that's he said he would do
you
it.
You got to follow through on this, buddy. Did he remember that when you brought it up to him?
I doubt it.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean,
he probably played. It was polite. I bet he was polite and played it off. But he probably was like,
"Did I say that?
What is he talking about?"
You know, he probably thought to himself, "I could have said that."
Yeah,
maybe.
It's got to be so hard when you are someone at that level. And certainly there are
mine.
No, Lindy's.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There are obviously bigger stars, you know, in the world. But like any interaction you have with one of those people, right? Like, I don't think I said this to Ryan Miller when I finally had some time without. Like, I sat with him at the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame when he was inducted. but there was like a stopwatch on it. Like he came over, we had to start, we started, we got done, he left. I did not have a second to even say like anything about what his career meant to my kid and like everything, all that. Like so there was no personal time at all. And I ran into him when I was at one of the playoff games, the one that I was in the wrong suite for,
yep,
to begin with. He came down there and I got to talk to him for, you know, with a group of three or four people, and, you know, got to have a, you know, pleasant conversation with him. And I stopped myself from telling him, you know, my wife and young son love when you were so nice to them at Wegmans back in like 2008. 'Cause like, what in the world are you doing to someone that has met the number of people through his hockey career, like fans at the grocery store? Like, there's no, just no, don't do it. Don't bring it up. It's stupid. And I didn't. But, like, that must happen to people that are stars of that level, like, all the time. Yeah. It's one of the most important interactions you may feel like you ever have, because you like idolize this person, or he means a lot to you or whatever. And like, I don't think I idolized Ryan Miller, but he definitely meant a lot to me. Owen's ride in hockey is largely like generated out of Ryan Miller, I think. And certainly was for me. Like I think, like, try to be a goalie, whatever, see if it works. And it did, you know, well enough. But you know, those, if you get like 40 of those a day, how can you possibly remember like anything that happens? It's just so much.
Some people can do it. Miller seems to me like somebody who might be able to, because I think he cares about people and he's super smart.
He comes across as very thoughtful.
He might be someone who'd be like, oh yeah, I remember I was in the detergent aisle.
Right.
I don't know. Like I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what to do. If it's ever you, because we have some smaller scale of this.
Sure.
I was just in Kentucky. I had the Shope Howell on the ADP chasing episode. It's fresh off the Howell. You know, Google it. And, you know, it's serious fantasy football players. And so I had a little bit of this in Kentucky. And here's what you do. If it's ever you in life, here's what you do. If you don't remember the person, really, but you try to fake it a little bit, what you say is, oh, sure. And I was just thinking about you. I'm glad that we ran into each other again. Do you have that 20 I lent you last year? And then that sometimes they'll give you $20.
That disarms everything, maybe.
Sometimes they'll just give you the, oh, yeah, I did remember to bring that 20. And then you walk away and you plus 20. Boom. How do you think I pay for all these teams?
Right. Wow.
Just scamming people off $20 bills. No, don't do that. It's funny, but you don't actually take their money. Thank you. Speaking of fantasy football, aren't you proud of me? I haven't mentioned Marshawn Lloyd once today until now.
No, it's over now.
Do you think I'm not asking you to get weird here, but like in sort of a typical fantasy football format context, is there any way you would draft Skylar Bell? Don't think too hard about
decisions. How
strategy.
Deep are we talking about? Like a,
not dynasty. No, this year.
Yeah. No.
What's the ceiling outcome for Skylar Bell? You need a Shakir injury.
You need something to happen to Shakir, I think, for him to really matter at all. It's not to say like he couldn't get in a game, and I think he'll be active.
Do you?
I think. I don't know. Maybe. Depend. See, he could be. No, I would not draft him. I would not draft him because he might be in peril for a spot on game day now because of Dortch. Mm-hmm. Like if Dortch becomes the guy they want to make their punt returner, and if they're thinking like I was thinking the other day when we talked about this a lot, that I'm not putting you on the 53 just to catch punts. Like, I've got the call-ups, and I can use those. Once I'm out of those, and if he's their punt returner, then I think they're going to be motivated to find a way to use him at least a little, and that's probably behind Shakir.
This is really good to know. If anybody out there is, like, into the machinations of the roster stuff, this point you keep making about the three elevations, the kind of thing you'll hear Sal mention a lot, is important.
Yeah, you don't have an endless, you just can't, it resets once the playoffs get here. But, you know, if you want this guy to be your punt returner, I could be wrong. They could just value it enough that they're going to use him like that. and he'll be on the 53, and all he's going to really do is return punts. But somebody's got to pay the price, and Bell might make the most sense right now. As much as we all enjoyed watching him play last Thursday, and he had a very good game and looked every bit the part of somebody who could help you this year. But I think he's in a numbers game, and Dortch is just another complication to that, I think.
Mm-hmm. When the Bills go to Green Bay in December, really probably kind of a bucket list game for a lot of fans. I mean, they're in Green Bay every 8 years, unless there's some extra, you know, mm-hmm. the one-off game like they have sometimes. But that is going to be when? Mid-December, Sunday night, by the way, at Lambeau Field, Bills and Packers. That's pretty good. That is week 14. So December 13th is the date. Do you know where I'm going with this, what Green Bay is going to wear?
You mentioned that it's known, and I haven't seen it.
The Packers will be wearing, and I think you can probably picture these, they're what they call 1923 classic uniforms. So the helmet is brown, meant to look like a leather helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And then who do they look like? Like a college team. Navy with gold letters and stripes, yeah. numbers,
yep.
and letters and stripes.
I've seen this.
And then like the same sort of orange-brown pants. So they will not look like the Packers when the Bills go. The Bills will be in white then. Which, you know, was going to happen anyway. The Packers never wear white at home, do they?
You want to sit with something for a minute that's going to make you want to claw your eyeballs out of your face preemptively?
100% I do.
Is, like, imagine the Packers wearing that and the Bills wearing the gray stuff.
Yeah, no. That's already all set.
Oh, yeah, right. I know. But, like, God, that would be just, wow, would that be bad?
Yeah, no. I mean, on a Sunday night?
Yeah, no. I know it's not happening. I know we know what the Bills are wearing. I don't know. I don't have it memorized, but I know it's known. How's that? Is that am I good here?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not so worried.
You know what
about
they're
it.
Wearing, but you don't know what it is, and don't draft Skylar Bell.
I would not.
If you want to claw your eyes out, listen closely.
Yes. All right. We're good here.
Yeah. Okay, so the Packers will be wearing, they'll be sort of going niche.
Yeah.
That Sunday night against the Bills. Week, what'd I say, 14. Big game, probably.
I would think, yeah.
The Bills are favored in every game but two. Two or three on their schedule. At New England, at the Rams, maybe at the Packers. Maybe it's three.
Yeah.
But that's it. And they're favored in Houston week one. How about that? -1.5 remains the most common line. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here at 803-0550. This is WGR.